Okay. The fourth stanza of Tzur Mishalo continues the theme of the third stanza. Yibana HaMikdash is similar to the closing of the third bracha, right? Yivnei Yerushalayim. So it's continuing the theme of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And there it says, Yibana HaMikdash Ir Tzion Tamale. The Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And Ir Tzion is obviously Yerushalayim, Timale, to be full. L'chor the Pashup Shad is it'll be full of Jews. It'll be populated by many Jews. The Girsa here is a little unclear, because Yibane HaBeis HaMikdash is the Beis HaMikdash should be built. Ir Tzion Timale is fill the city of Tzion, as if we're saying the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, and then we turn to Hashem and say, fill the city of Tzion, which is possible, but not so parallel. Therefore, the Siddur Otzar Tfilos and many others say it could be that they weren't so medayik in transmission of the vowels. It could be that the proper Gersa is Yibane HaMikdash Ir Tzion Timale. Or the manuscripts don't all have vowels, but then it would be parallel. Timale is to fill something else. Timale is to be full. So Timale might be a better Gersa. That's what the Otzar Tfilos says, because then it's parallel. Yibane HaMikdash, the Mikdash should be built, Ir Tzion Timale, and then the city of Yerushalayim will be full.
I mean, then it's both passive both times.
Right, exactly. Then it's both passive as opposed to passive and then active. Okay, but
maybe it's Ir Tzion is filling herself with the Mikdash. It's thematic.
Could be, but it's the Pashup Shad is filling with people. But we haven't here. We have a Beis HaMikdash, and Ir Tzion is full of Am Yisrael, meaning Jews resettle in Yerushalayim. And Vishamna Shir Shir Chadash, there we will sing a new song that clearly comes from Shira Lashem Shir Chadash in Tehillim, in Kabbalah Shabbos. And Chazal say, right, in the time of Mashiach, there'll be a new Shir, it'll be called a Shir instead of a Shira, because it'll be a higher Madrega, praise. Na'aleh is Aliyah L'Regel, right? We'll come Aliyah L'Regel, right? There'll be a Beis HaMikdash will be full of Jews, and we'll be able to come Aliyah L'Regel and praise Hashem with Shir and Renana. So the first half of the stanza is talking about the time of the Geula, the Beis HaMikdash, continuing the theme of the third stanza. V'shamna Shir Shir Chadash, and what's going to happen when we have a rebuilt Beis HaMikdash and Jews in Yerushalayim? What are we going to do with that Beis HaMikdash? A lot of things are going to happen, carbonos, etc. That's what we focus on here. We're going to praise Hashem. Right now, Le'el do Alila Regel with Rinana. And with Ashir Chadash. We're going to sing praises to Hashem in that Beis HaMikdash. And that ties into the why we focus Davka on the fact that we'll praise Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. That ties into the segues into the second half of the stanza. The second half of the stanza is the fact that we're going to praise Hashem in benching. Right? Harachaman HaNikdash Yisparach V'Yisaleh. Harachaman is Hashem, obviously. HaNikdash, who is sanctified. The sanctified, merciful one. Yisparach V'Yisaleh will be praised, and the Yisaleh is also praised. Will be praised, and I don't have a good enough English vocabulary, but will be
exalted.
Praised and exalted. Thank you. Al kos yayin mole, on a full cup of wine, kiver kat Hashem, a full cup of wine like the blessing of Hashem, meaning the wine will be full like the blessing of Hashem, which is full. So here, this is an interesting, this is the poetic usage of metaphor. On the one hand, we're talking about the geula, right? When the geula comes, we'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, we'll praise Hashem, harachman hanikdash, the Holy One, Hashem, we will praise and exalt. And even, it's interesting the change in lashon, harachman hanikdash, he's already nikdash, but he will be yisbarach v'yisaleh. Why that change in tense? Perhaps kadosh has to do with sanctified, even though we do say nekadesh et shemcha v'olam, but be'ikr, you know, k'shem sh'makdishim ol'tol b'shmei marom, kadosh, sanctified means, right, to be withdrawn, to be separate, to be holier, to be transcendent. So, like, God is already nikdash. He's already so holy and separate from the whole world and a higher madrigal than the whole world. But yibarach v'yita'ala is to be blessed and praised, meaning, like, kadosh is how separate he is from this world. Kedusha is also always a lashon of precious. All the Yishon was saying in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Yisbarach v'yisaleh has to do with, we praise him, meaning we see how much he does for us. Right? So he's Nikdash, perhaps, like he's always transcendent, he's always holier, greater than the world. But how much is he praised? You know, that in the Geula, he will not be any more Kadosh than he is now. He's already as Kadosh as he can be, but he will be more praiseworthy in, or praised in the time of the Geula, because he'll reveal himself more in this world, and he'll do more things for us that we can praise him for, and ultimately, you know, that sort of, you know, Kedusha is a Chiddush, that we can be Kadosh Hashem. That's not Pashup Shat. The Pashup Shat is, his Kedusha is, you know, Bishmei Mavro. His Kedusha is already there. It's our job, what we recognize in the time of the Geula is, we'll be able to praise him and see more what he does for us in this world, because his presence will extend more in this world. Al kos yayin mole, on a full cup of wine, kibirkat Hashem, a full cup of wine on one level, what's going to happen a full cup of wine is always a metaphor, right? Kosi revaya, we say in Mizmor LeDavid, my cup overfloweth. He's not talking about a cup of wine, means his blessings, right? Like Hashem gives us, kos yayin mole, everything. We're going to bless Hashem when the Geula comes, but obviously we're transitioning here from the Geula to nowadays, right? This line is a transitional line. It's talking about two things at once, which is good poetry. On the one hand, Harachman and Nikdash is Baruch Yis Aleh, we read it as, when the Beis HaMikdash comes, and we'll praise Hashem, we'll sing to him in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll mevarech ma'aleh him, we'll praise and exalt him. You know, on the other hand, we're clearly segueing back to what we're about to do, right? The guy's about to pick up a cup of wine and start benching, right? So Harachman and Nikdash is Baruch Yis Aleh right now, about to start benching, right? The Pashup Shad is they used to sing Shir Mishaloh is a lead into benching. Right, I'm about to start benching. I'm going to bless Hashem on this cup of wine, which I'm holding right here in my hand, which I'm going to use to bless Hashem. So here, it's just interesting that what he does is he takes you from one world to another world. It's like if you're following it, it plays with you psychologically. I mean, in a good way. Like, what's gonna happen to the Beis HaMikdash? And then all of a sudden you realize that it's not just what's gonna happen to the Beis HaMikdash. It's what's happening right now. It's talking about what you're about to do. You're about to pick up a cup of wine and bless Hashem. And the cup of wine is mole. It's interesting. Why do we need a full cup of wine for brachos and benching, etc.? So here it tells you why. He has a pshat why we always need a full cup of wine. Kibirkas Hashem, what does a full cup of wine represent? Right, the kos has to be mole. You might have said, that's just any of covet. It's not mechubet to use a balmum cup of wine that's missing something. It says, no, the mole of a cup of wine, the reason we're so machbet on filling a cup of wine is because it represents the birkas Hashem. This wine is full, like the Birkas Hashem. Whenever we pick up a cup of wine in full, we say Hashem has given us a full bracha. Hashem filled our cup, as it were. You know, so sometimes you say Kosi Revaya, but at the very least we say Hashem filled our cup. And every time we make any bracha over a full cup of wine, we're saying Hashem has filled us up. He's done a davar shalom with us. He's given us everything we need. He's really gone 100% for us. Now, let me come back to this theme in a moment. And talk about a mystery that I may or may not be able to solve. The mystery is, now, just where we just left off, you went from the Beis HaMikdash to what we're doing now. Meaning, we can praise Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash when Mashiach comes, really, really big things, but I'm doing that right now over this cup of wine also. You know, this is also a big thing that I'm praising Hashem. Okay, let me come back to that in a moment. The mystery that we have 2 minutes to discuss is there are four brachos in four stanzas in Tzur Mishaloh. There are four brachos in Birkas HaMazon. It's sort of obvious the four stanzas should be connected to the four brachos. Yet, the fourth bracha, Atova Meitiv, is missing here. What is this fourth stanza connected? The first half is connected, continuing the third bracha, Uvnei Yerushalayim, and then it segues into Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pi HaGafen, right? Many of you shown him, held you should be knocked, it's always bench on the coast. So it's segueing from the third bracha to the Birkas HaKos, Baruch HaGafen, and skips Tova Meitiv entirely. It's a little peculiar. If there are four brachas of Birkas HaMazon, why skip Tova Meitiv entirely? So maybe just Stam, it's Drabanan, although the Yayin is also Drabanan, and they don't skip the Yayin, right? Obviously it's connected Baruch HaGafen in the end. So it's a bit of a mystery. Maybe Stam, maybe I don't understand why, but I want to suggest two reasons why, you know, like, where HaTova HaMeitiv might be Merumas in this fourth stanza. One is the approach of the Shutbin Yom and Zev takes the approach that the Tova Meitiv in benching that they were metaken in Yavne at the time of Haruge Beitar is the same takana and the same bracha me'ikra din originally before we added as the tova meitav on shinu yayin. Right, we say a tova meitav when you take out more wine. Say a tova meitav in benching. The minyan holds, Zev holds, that's the same takana. That's the same bracha. Many Rishonim ask, after Beitar, why do they dafka make a new bracha tova meitav in Birkas HaMazon? Why not make it in Shemona Esrei? Why not make it in Birkas Kriya Shema? Why not make it in Birkas HaShachar? Why do they dafka add to Birkas HaMazon? And the Ramban answers in Bava Basra, because Birkas HaMazon is on a coast. Again, not like our reality. Imagine you always benched on a coast. And this bracha has to be davka on a coast of Yayin, because it has to do with vineyards, because in the Chazal tell us in the Agata that they took all the Harugei Beitar and put them around a vineyard, and that the Goyim used the blood of Harugei Beitar to fertilize their vineyards. So there was this tremendous connection between the story of Harugei Beitar and wine, and therefore they davka made this bracha on the cup of wine of Birkas HaMazon. So if you understand that, it's not coincidence that they dafka made hatova meitiv right before you drink a cup of wine. That's what Ramban says, and other in Bava and other Rishonim. And it's not coincidence that we say hatova meitiv on benching and hatova meitiv on a cup of wine in the middle of the meal. And you might say that the author of Tumim Shelo understood that the ikur takana, the bracha of hatova meitiv, is to say hatova meitiv on the wine that you're benching on before you say Borei Pi HaGafen. And that's what we understood. He understood after Beitar, and they made a takana that you say hatova meitiv on the wine of Birkas HaMazon. Now, what does that mean for us? I'm not saying we follow that, because we bench Shalom al HaKos, and we still say Atova Meitiv. But maybe he held that the Takana of Atova Meitiv was dafka on the wine of Birkas HaMazon, and therefore when he says, HaRachman HaNikta Shis Baruch V'Yisala Alkos Yayin Molik Birkas HaShem, that's including Atova Meitiv, which is blessing HaShem for the wine. Brachot HaShem, when we take out the wine. that is one possibility. I think another possibility might be, so really, it's there in the Birkas HaYayin, because the Tova Meitiv is part of the Birkas HaYayin. That would be a Chiddush. It would not at all match the way we practice, which is that we always say a Tova Meitiv, and we almost never bench on a kos. But maybe that's what the Mechaber held. The other option is that HaTova Meitiv is not an extension of Birkas HaYayin, but if you look in this stanza, it ends with Birkas HaYayin. But that's not remarkable. It has to have a remnant of Birkas HaYayin in some place. What's remarkable about this fourth stanza is that it continues the third stanza. Like the third stanza is for Rachim, for Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. Why does the third stanza deserve a stanza and a half, or a stanza and three quarters? Why continue? Maybe the Mechaber understood that Takana Vatova Meitiv is really an extension of Bonei Yerushalayim. And this, I don't know what's shot and what's drash here, but it's really an extension of Bonei Yerushalayim. What's the point? Originally, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he made a takana. Thank you, Hashem, for Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. Then, after the Churban, we obviously changed the Nosach, and we say instead, we say, Uvnei Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Mehir Yameinu, right, Hashem, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What happened after the fall of Beitar, right, there was modest hope for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, historically, in Jewish history. Yes, we know there's a Churban Beis HaMikdash in the year 70 Lefi HaSfira. But there was hope of imminent rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. They mamish, and they said, "If Nei Yerushalayim, Mirakodesh, Mei Yameinu," they meant maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year. Like we're in the middle of working on it. We have a campaign. You know, their hope was it wasn't this messianic hope for someday, whatever. It was mamish today, tomorrow, from today till tomorrow. That hope lived until the fall of Beitar. The fall of Beitar was the end of, the Rishonim call it, Nigda Akaren Yisrael, uprooting the horn. That was the end of the hope. The hope was killed. Once Beitar fell, that was it. They lost, not Chashon permanently, but they lost for the short, medium, and who knows how long term. Right? The war was over. They lost. No one after Beitar thought that they were on the way to rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. The Jews basically lost hope. They lost hope. They said, that's it, we lost, we were wrong, we thought there would be a Beis HaMikdash, and there isn't. They lost their faith. What is the Takana of Tova Meitiv? Hashem did a miracle in the Harugei Beitar, right? That after 3 years, the Romans allowed them to be buried, and the bodies were still preserved. That second part was obviously the real miraculous part. And what was that simon? That was a simon that, you could take this different ways, I have taken it different ways in the past, but maybe the Mechaber understood, that was a simon, and this is how Rav Kook understands it. Rav Kook in the Ein Ayah on Brachos, I think it's there, says, that was a simon that the hope is still alive. That even though right now we're at the nadir, we're at the lowest point, and we're the furthest from Geula you could possibly imagine, basically the whole city, everyone was killed, the whole, all the Jewish army was destroyed, all political and military hopes were dashed. Nonetheless, Hashem is still doing miracles for us, and it just means you might have to wait a while, but the Geula is still coming. And when why do you make the Bracha V'Tovah Meitiv? Maybe bring the Bracha V'Tovah Meitiv to tell people, I know right now it looks like Uvnei Yerushalayim is not realistic. Right now it looks like a pipe dream. But you should know, no, Hashem is always with us, and even when it looks very bleak, even when it looks very bad, we still have faith that Hashem is with us and the Geula will come. So it could be a Tova Meitiv came to be Mechazik, our hope and our faith in the Geula. And really, a Tova Meitiv is an extension of Bonu Yushalayim. The Rai is this, then. Some Gneza fragments, that are found from the Cairo Gneza, they have all kinds of poetic versions of Birkas HaMazon, and many of them don't actually have a fourth bracha for a Tova Meitiv. Instead, they just have an extension of Bonu Yushalayim, and then it extends for another few sentences and has the fourth bracha there as part of the third bracha. So maybe they understood, that Minog understood, that the fourth bracha is really an extension of the third bracha. It's to bolster our faith in the third bracha. If so, then maybe, and not only that, it's to say that we see things now that are not geula. Burying the dead people from Beitar is not geula. Sakol is burying dead people. But nonetheless, in that, we see already the faith of geula. If Hashem can do that, we already see the geula. We already see in that the potential for geula. So maybe if that's how the Mechaber understood the fourth bracha, then it makes sense. The fourth bracha is an extension of the third bracha. It's to bolster our belief that we really believe in the third bracha. And if you look at the difference in the third bracha, it says, "Rachim chasdecha, Hashem, please." He should come. He will come. Like it's this prayer. But in the fourth bracha, it's not just a prayer. It's already almost like a celebration. We're like already planning what to sing. We're already planning what we're going to wear and what we're going to sing and practicing the chorus, right? Because we're already praising Hashem. We're thanking Hashem for the geula already. It's like we really believe it. It's really there. So maybe he understood the point of the fourth bracha is to mechazik your faith in the third bracha, and that's what the fourth stanza is here. The fourth stanza, to mechazik your faith. Yes, we're ready to sing. We're practicing the chorus for singing the song of the Shir Chodesh of the Geula and the Beis HaMikdash. And then the transition also makes sense. Al kos yayin molei kivirkas Hashem. Right now, I'm talking about the Geula, and all of a sudden I realize, no, I have something to pray. I have a cup of wine in my hand. Kos yayin molei kivirkas Hashem is in my hand. Hashem already gave me tremendous bracha, which I can bless him just like I will in the time of the Geula. So in this fourth stanza, what he's doing by his clever psychology is telling us we already have brachos that are similar to the brachos in the time of the geula. And maybe that's the point of the fourth stanza. We don't have the geula yet, but every day we see the brachos Hashem gives us. We see the Harugei Beitar, we see the Kos Yayin Molei, we see the Achalta V'Savata, and we see everything Hashem does for us, and that bolsters our faith in the geula. And maybe that's why the fourth stanza does have a remes HaTova Meitiv in terms of bolstering our faith in the geula, and specifically by telling us the geula, you're going to bless Hashem for the geula just like you're blessing him already for all the things he does for you. When we recognize all the things Hashem does for us, that bolsters our faith in the geula l'asid lavo and helps us already almost sing a praise of Hashem that he's already brought it. And maybe that's, on some level, a remes to the theme of the fourth bracha.
Thank you.